This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
This morning, I want to look with you in the book of Genesis chapter 37 on the detour of betrayal. Genesis chapter number 37 and verse number 20. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread and lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead, and their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. Genesis chapter 37, all the way through the end of the book of Genesis, it is covering the life of Joseph, the 11th son of Jacob. And you see here, when you come into chapter 37, the author of the book, Moses, he gives to us just this overwhelm of information. He's trying to catch up real quick on everything that's transpired. It's almost like we've gotten to Joseph being about 12 or 13 years old. And all of a sudden, the writer wants to let you know what's kind of been going on the last 12 years in chapter 37, verse 1 down through verse number 4. And this is what he basically tells us. He basically tells us, number one, that Joseph is beloved of his father. Of all the 12 sons that Jacob had, there was something about that boy, Joseph. It was something about him, so he wraps him in a coat of many colors. The second thing we learn about Joseph real quick is that this love from his father did not come without a price, because he was hated by his brothers. And then we find out in this same chapter that above all of the love that his daddy had, and above all the hatred that his brothers had, that God had a plan for Joseph, because God had given him a dream. He had given him two dreams, in fact. And the first dream basically said, you are going to rise above all the people in the world. The second dream basically said that you will save all the people in the world. So God had given to Joseph a dream. And what you've got to understand about the dreams and the promises and the word of God is that the devil has no power. Joseph's brothers had no power to stop God from bringing that word to pass. Beloved, let me stop, time out, clear me off a spot, remind you, the devil does not have near the power we obviously think that he has. When God promises you something in your life, the devil cannot do anything to stop God from bringing it to pass. If God's promised you he's going to save somebody, honey, you go ahead and mark her down. There's going to be a baptism somewhere along the way. If God promises you that he's going to answer a prayer, you may as well go in and write it down and praise him on credit, because God is going to do it. The devil cannot stop God, but watch this, you can. See, you and I, I don't understand it, and man, people get mad at me when I say this, but I'm telling you, you can get out of the will of God. You can get out of the pathway of God, and you can keep God from doing what God has said. It's not that you've got more power than God. It's that God humbles his plan in your hands in a certain degree. Now, the devil knows he can't stop it, so guess who he tries to stop? You. You know, the devil can't stop God, so the devil's going to try to stop you. And here's how he does it. He does it through these things we call detours in life. He'll put something in your way that'll get you off the path. He'll get you something, put something in your way that'll get you to step out of the way, get off the beaten path, and never be able to come back around. He did it in Joseph's lives in three ways, and by God's grace, I want to look at them. I'm not going to look at them all this morning. But the very first thing that God does in his life is this. He gives to him a group of people around him that despise, hate, and reject him. And I began thinking, Lord, why would you do that? Why do you put people around us that do not agree with us, do not care about us, and want to see us burn alive? And the Holy Ghost began to deal with me about that. You know why? Because what Jacob could not do for Joseph, his brothers did. It was through their betrayal. It was through their hurt that God exalted Joseph. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. It's not the mountain peaks that make you. It's the valley. It's not what you learn when everything's good. It's what you do when everything's bad. It's not what you do when life's running great guns for you. It's when everybody turns their back on. How y'all doing back here? It's when everybody turns that y'all don't need to do that in my peripheral. I got bad ADHD. Y'all know how I deal with that. But I am glad that y'all are here in the house of God. But here is what he does. What was I talking about? You can't learn on a mountain what you can learn down in a valley. That's just not the way that humanity works. But you've got to understand something, beloved. If you will push through the detours that God brings you, there'll be glory on the other side. And the first thing God will put in your life are people that want to see you fail. The detour of betrayal. I'm looking here right now at something because I imagine many of you are dealing with this. I'll give you three things. I'll lay them out there. You do with them what you want to do. Number one, let's look in this passage at the conspiracy of Joseph's brothers. Look at the conspiracy of Joseph's brothers. What was their conspiracy? They had three things they wanted to see Joseph accomplish. Number one, they wanted to slay Joseph. You know that's a good King James word for kill you dead? That's exactly what the word slay means. They didn't want him to just be dead. They wanted him to suffer while he was dying. They didn't just want to see him have no life. They wanted to gut him like a hog and watch him bleed out. You see, that is exactly what the devil desires from you. If I could get teenagers and moms and dads to understand one thing, the devil doesn't play fair. He's not in this thing to kindly get you a little distracted. Honey, he wants to take you, hang you up by your toenails, rip out your bones, cut your throat, and watch you bleed out. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your youngins. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your job. He wants to destroy your reputation. They wanted to slay Joseph, and that's what the devil wanted to do. Then he wanted to do another thing. They didn't just want to slay Joseph. They wanted to strip Joseph. They wanted to rip that coat of many colors right off of Joseph. That coat of many colors is a picture of the righteousness of God Almighty. You see, that is that thing that you get when you get in that love relationship with your heavenly Father. You see, he takes off that old robe of unrighteousness, and he puts that new robe of God's righteousness. We call that testimony. We call that integrity. We call that righteousness. We call that the goodness of God. You see, the devil doesn't just want to kill you, but he wants to destroy your reputation. He wants everybody to think you're a fake. He wants everybody to think you're a phony. He wants everybody to think you're no good. He wants everybody to think you're a hypocrite. He wants to rip off what God's put on you. Here's what you've got to understand, beloved. The devil is a liar. He can't take anything from you that you don't first give him access to. You can't take what was never given. You can't give what was never taken. And the devil has no power to ruin your testimony unless you open the door. Then he wanted to do another thing. They didn't just want to slay him and strip him, but then they wanted to sell him. You see, they didn't want Joseph not just being in their land. They wanted to send him all the way down to Egypt. They didn't want Joseph playing for the good side anymore. They wanted Joseph's dreams to die in Egypt. Man, I'm telling you, I'm so old-fashioned, I honestly think I need WD-40. I am squeaky when I am old-fashioned. I'm so old-fashioned. I believe that what the talents God gives you ought to be used for one purpose, and that is to glorify God Almighty. Now, I'm not trying to beat any drums. I'm not trying to grind any axes. I'm not trying to make... But I'm old-fashioned, so y'all just forgive me for being old-fashioned. I mean, I wear Old Spice, and I shave with Parasso soap. Say amen. I'm just old-fashioned to the very core of what I'm old-fashioned. And it used to grieve my soul when I would be watching, flipping through the television, and you'd come up with some of these music shows, these American Idols, The Voices, and different things. Don't act like you don't watch them. I know you watch them. That's how you know what I'm talking about right now. You don't want to shake your head because you don't want me to think I know what I think, and you know what you think. You know what I'm talking about. And they would get on there, and I would see somebody on there that used to sing gospel music. Man, that grieves my soul. And then they would get on, they would get this young girl, they'd get this young guy. And honey, I'm telling you, that girl, that boy would absolutely sing the paint off of that wall. And if you have not been around church a long time, there's something you'll learn about old-fashioned churches. People that are growing up in old-fashioned churches, learning to sing in old-fashioned churches, they've got a certain way that they sing. I'm just telling you, they just do. I don't know what you call it. You can call it the twang voice. You can call it the glory. I don't know, but it's just something about it. And whenever they get on there, and man, those judges will ask them, they'll say, "Where did you learn to sing like that?" And they always say this, "Learned in church. Been singing in church." Beloved, the devil doesn't just want to take your talent away from God. The devil wants to see that talent taken down to the far country in Egypt and used for the devil, used for the enemy. I know that's not popular today, but it's just the truth. If we had less people doling on both sides and had some people that were sold out and said, "I'm living for God, I'm doing it God's way. If I don't make any money, I don't make any money, but I'm laying up on another side, on the other side of the river, I'm laying up treasures, I'm investing." He wants to see you stripped, slain, and sold. But then look at this number two. Look, why are they like that? That right there, that was their conspiracy. What about their condition? What about their condition? Can I ask you a question? Have you ever asked this? I know y'all are more spiritual than I am. It's okay. I ask these questions for you. Why are people so mean? Anybody ever ask that question? Me and Erica, we ask this all the time. Why are people so mean? Listen, I got people that I don't like. They don't like me. I don't like them. But I would never, never try to hurt somebody. No matter how bad I didn't like them. And no matter how bad they hurt me. But you know there's some people out there that won't breathe, operate to see you destroyed. Why? Can I show you a little something? Look, if you will, in verse number 17. Look in verse number 17 of this chapter. Watch what the Bible says. "And the man said, 'They are departed hence, for I heard.'" Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, yes, thank you, Jesus. I just felt the glory wind. Y'all just help. Let me just do this right quick. Oh, God. You know, sometimes I wonder if God's even near me. God's within 1,000 miles. And every now and again, He'll tuck her up right beside you and say, "I'm right here, my boy. You just keep on applying. You just keep on plucking. And you just keep on going. And I just felt Him hunker up beside me. So you'll just forgive me if I get a little Pentecostal on you right now. I felt Him in my soul." You say, where'd they come from? Look at what it says in verse number 17. It says they were down in Dothan. Do you know what the word Dothan means? The word Dothan, it means the place of two wells. The place of two wells. Time out. What does that matter? Watch this. when they take Joseph, and in verse number 24, they cast him into a what? A pit. Do you know what a pit is? A pit is a cistern that has been dug to catch rainwater. Time out. Why do you need to dig a cistern when you got two wells? Why did those brothers dig that 10-foot hole to catch rainwater out of heaven? They've got two wells at Dothan. You know why? They didn't like the water that was in that well. They wanted that water they could see, not that water that was down deep in the earth, that water that came from an underground source, that water that sprung forth from a spring of everlasting life. Here's the reason they were so messed up. They didn't like what they had. That's the reason people are so mean. Can I just say it in a real clear fashion way? They are not born again. They're acting just like their father, the devil. The reason they want to see you destroyed is because he wants to see you destroyed. Hey, ain't no pleasant way to put it. There ain't no happy way to put it. They are not born again. You say, how do you know that? Because if they had the same Holy Ghost that you had, they would not act the way that they act. It's time for us to stop tiptoeing around this thing because we're afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. If you are born again and you act like the devil, it won't be long before your heavenly Father pulls out the bootstraps of glory and beats the ever-loving devil right out of you because he chastises his own. And if you're not chastised, you don't belong to him. Man, my little boy, that's the funniest human. I have never met a human being as funny as my Mason. Honest. He says some things. He does. I don't have a clue. I sent my sister a video last week, and I said, look at this boy. She said, he acts just like you. Man, I'm telling you, my son pulled one of those numbers a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know. Y'all say, I get tired of hearing about your boy. Well, I'm only around him and y'all, so if I tell y'all stuff, you think I'm gossiping, so I just talk about him. And so my son, he was acting a fool with a bunch of other kids in the church. I don't remember what he was doing. He was acting a fool. And I stood right back there in that doorway. And there was probably 10 of these kids just running around here. And there was something that just irks my nanners. My mother and my grandmother beat the devil out of us for running in church. And I tell him, I said, son, stop. Do not run in church. And Comanche Indians, son, they were making beelines all over this sanctuary. And I said, Mason, here, now. He comes sprinting out there. I said, get in my office. And he knew what was coming. He said, Daddy, I wasn't the only one running. Daddy, I wasn't the only one running. This is what I said. I said, you're the only one that belongs to me. And you know why I didn't beat the devil out of the rest of them youngins? They don't belong to me. If they belonged to me, they'd have tan marks on their hind parts. Say amen right there. Here is the point of what God's trying to show you. The reason people act like the devil is because that's the nature they have inside of them. The reason people try to destroy you is because they are not born again. They're not saved. If they liked the water that was in the well, they wouldn't be digging a pit to kill you in. Now, that's the conspiracy. I can tell y'all ate that point up. Let me go to number two. Let me show you, if I can, the condition of Joseph. Let me show you, if I can, in verse number 24, the condition of Joseph. Watch what it says in verse 24. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Let me give you three things. Number one, let me show you, if you'll let me show you Joseph's pain. Watch what it says they did to Joseph. They took him and they cast him. Now, I don't know if y'all grew up in North Carolina. Like, I've met some Yankees that have been coming to the house of God. So if you're a Yankee, let me put it to you in the words of Brother Joe Arthur, they threw him hither. They threw him over there. You got it, Kristen? You got it? All right. They threw him over there. Let me put it so some of you North Carolina people, they chunked him. They took him by the nape of the neck and they threw him into a 10-foot hole. You know what that would have done? That would have hurt. You know when people betray you, there is no positive way to put it. You know what it is? It's pain. When somebody that loves you turns their back on you, that's painful. When somebody that you cared for and did all you could to be a blessing to turn their back on you, that's pain. When you do your best to build people up and they're constantly beating you down, that hurts. Don't let the devil tell you there's no reason to be in pain. Our Lord hurt on the cross. Joseph hurt in the pit. Number two, let me show you if I can, let me show you his pit. It says they cast him into a 10-foot hole. You know the problem with 10-foot holes for 5-foot people? Does anybody else see the problem? Ain't no way out. Are you ready? Look at me. It's exactly where some of you are at right now. You say, if I could just get this worked out, I'd feel better. If I could just get this, if I could just get out of this hole, if I could just. And you're in that pit. You say, anybody gonna help me? Now watch this third thing. You ready? Look at his problem. What does it say about that pit? There was no water. No water. Water in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Can I tell you the worst part about the betrayal of others? When they betray you and put you in that place of pain, in that pit, isn't it as if God leaves? It's as if God flies away. You know, I can survive anything as long as I know God's with me. But it's in those low places in my life when I'm praying and I'm saying, God, I'm so pained right now. God, I'm so hurting right now. Oh, God, how am I going to make it? And it's as if the heavens have gone brass. It's as if the angels have abdicated around the throne. It's as if God's gone on a vacation and the devil himself is on the throne saying, nobody's home. There's no water. And that's where some of you find yourself at this very moment. And you know why the devil's put it there? To detour you. To detour you. You say, where's the hope? I'm so glad we have a little bit of time left for me just to tiptoe around this third little point. I've shown you, if I can, the conspiracy of the brothers. Then we look now at the condition of Joseph. But let me park my train for just a little bit at number three, the care of God Almighty. Because here is what you've got to understand. You've never been in a pit. God did not know where that pit was. You've never been cast out. God didn't know where you had been thrown. You'd never gone away that God did not know where you'd gone. Look back, if you will, in verse number 25. Can I show you how God works all things together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose? Look, if you will, at verse number 25. And they sat down to eat bread. Isn't that the coldest statement you've ever read? They cast their own brother in a hole and they went and got a piece of toast. Isn't it amazing how cold and callous people can be? But here's what you need to understand. This is where the devil will confuse you. When people are cold and calloused, God never is. Just because you can't feel Him doesn't mean He ain't working. Just because you can't trace Him doesn't mean He's not moving. How do I know? Look at what it says. It says they sat down to eat bread, verse number 25, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites. This is what they said. They said, let's sell that old boy to those Ishmaelites. What are Ishmaelites? Ishmaelites are the other son of Abraham. You know what they are? They're the enemy. Their conspiracy is getting worse and worse. Watch what it says. They said, let's not just sell him. Let's torture him in the process. Let's take him and throw him to the Ishmaelites. But I want you to notice how God operates. Look at what it says in verse 25. And the company of Ishmaelites. Look at where the Ishmaelites had been. And they came from Gilead. You see, those Ishmaelites, they were on a caravan that was coming out of the Syrian capital and was making its way down through Israel. And on their way by a little country town named Gilead, they said, we need to stop in here because there's some products we need to buy. Look at verse number 25. There were three products that they picked up in Gilead. They picked up spicery, and they picked up balm, and they picked up myrrh. They had gotten spices from Gilead. They had gotten balm from Gilead, and they had gotten myrrh from Gilead. Let me say it again. They had gone down to Gilead, and they were not of the people of God. But when they got down to Gilead, God said, I want you to pick up a few things. There's somebody coming you're getting ready to pick up, and he's going to need what you've got. Go ahead and pick up a little spice over there in Gilead. Then don't forget that balm, that balm, that balm, that B-A-L-M, that balm from Gilead. Then make sure, he said, get the spice. And then get the balm in Gilead. Then he said, I want you to make sure you get myrrh. Now here's what you got to think about. They lift up Joseph out of that pit. He's got bruises on him. He's got cuts on him. He's got scrapes on him. He's been beaten and battered by the betrayal of his family and his friends. And they put him on that Ishmaelite caravan. He goes down and those Ishmaelites look at him and they say, son, can I ask you a question? Do you want any of this stuff we got from your hometown? Why would God name those three things in that? What was it about those three things that God said, now, Holy Ghost, you make sure you put that in the word for those people that are going through betrayal. Can I give them to you and the purpose of them? Number one, he said, I want you to have the spicery so you do not smell. Have the spices so you do not smell. Now, I want you to think about it. What's a caravan in the Old Testament? You ready? Camels, donkeys, elephants. You know what that is? Stank nasty. Now, you people that are animal people, they ain't nothing nastier than an animal. I've met some Baptists. I take that back. I've met some dogs that were pretty clean compared to some Baptists I've met. But I'm telling you, nasty. I was over in Israel one time, and you go out there to Samaria, and I'll take you to Shechem, and there's a kid that's got a camel. And everybody I've ever taken to Israel, they always say, do we have time to ride the camel? And they get on that camel, and man, they ride that thing, ride that stupid camel around that little parking lot, and they get off, and nobody has the heart to tell them they stink. Man, they're walking, they're shaking, they're trying to get that stuff off of them, and you know what they're thinking, Brother Bob? Does anybody else smell that? We do. We do. Ain't no way to put that. We do. That's exactly what Joseph would have smelt like. But you ready? He reaches in that little pack and he got some spices from his homeland. And he takes that spice and he puts that spice all over him. And even though he's not at home, he smells like his homeland. Even though he doesn't belong where he's at, he still smells like where he's from. Here's what God will do to the people of God that have been betrayed and they stay real close to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be in a place you didn't think you'd be in. You may be in a culture you never thought you'd be in. You may be around a bunch of people and they look at you and you've got all that stuff that ought to mess you up. You got all that stuff that should have took you down. You got all that stuff that should have thrown you out, and they think that's got to be the most bitter, cantankerous person I've ever been around. But when they get around you, there's a spiritual odor that rises up off of you, and it smells a whole lot like the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. It smells a whole lot like the bright and the morning star. It smells like the Lord Jesus Christ, and they say, you ought to stink, but you smell like the place you're from. You say, what do the people of God that stay real close to Jesus smell like? Are you ready? We smell like heaven. How do you smell like heaven? Because when you constantly keep yourself there, you can't help but be around the odor. You know, people that smoke cigarettes, I love them. But COVID was one of the biggest blessings. I don't have to go in houses anymore. Y'all know I'm finicky. I'm finicky. I just, I don't like nasty. I have germ issues. I have phobias. I've got very bad situations. I went into a house one time, and the boy wasn't saved. And I knew God was. And I, Scott, you go in a lot of houses. You ever go to the door, and the door smells as if a million camels have walked through that house? And I ain't talking about the humpback. I'm talking about the smokeback. Man, I went in. And I went in that house. And I wasn't in there 15 minutes. And I came out. And I just, it was all, I went, honest, I went to the door of the house. Erica said, "You ain't coming in here." I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Drop them right there." You know what I did? I went Johnny on the spot right there, son. You know why? Because you'll smell like what you're around. And if you stay in that bitterness and you stay in that place of being cantankerous, you'll be exactly like that. But if you'll constantly keep your eyes on home and you'll constantly keep your mind in heaven and you keep your heart settled on things above, you will have the smell of glory even when you're in the midst of things you shouldn't be around. Number two, he said the second thing that group of Ishmaelites got, they got the balm. So number two, they got balm, therefore he didn't swell. What had just happened to Joseph? He'd been thrown into a pit. Remember what I said? He'd been chunked in that pit. You ever fallen off a little retention wall? You can fall off a 3 or 4 foot retention wall and break your ankle. You imagine being chunked into a 10-foot hole, what you'd look like? Now here's the problem. Open wounds, if not dealt with, will do what? Get infected. What happens to an infected wound? It swells, it gets pus, it gets white blood cells, it will fester up. So the way that they would offset that in the Old Testament is they would take this resin, this balm. You know how they got the balm? Number one, they had to go to a tree. Number two, the tree had to be cut. And number three, that life-giving sap from the inside had to flow to the outside. And they would take that balm and they would mix it with other things, and then they would place it on that open wound, and that balm that had come from that tree and that balm that had been cut from that side, it would be placed on that open wound, and that open wound would be sealed. That open wound would be sealed. That open wound would be sealed by that which came out of that tree, and it would keep it from getting infected. It would keep it from getting messed up, while the inside would take care of healing that up. You say, what'll happen if I just stay close to Jesus when people have betrayed you? I'll tell you exactly what will happen. Because of the tree, we've been healed. By his stripes, we have been healed. And that sap, that life-giving flow, that blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins, when it's put on the wounds of my soul and it's put on the wounds of my heart, it seals up the wounds. And he says, while you heal, I will seal what has hurt you. Man, then there was a third thing. Third thing was myrrh. What was the myrrh for? The myrrh was used so they wouldn't get sick. I looked this up in one of my old Bible dictionaries. It's about 115 years old, Bob. What they would do in old times, they would take myrrh. And myrrh was always used for one purpose: to bury bodies with. But if a person was changing environments, going from one city or country to another, they would take a little bit of that death spice and they'd break it up and they'd put it in water and they would drink it. And you know what it would do? That little bit of death would boost the immune system. And now when that person is going from one place to another, it would keep them from getting sick. You say, what does that mean? You ready? Here's what it means. What is the natural tendency when people wrong you? What's the natural tendency? Get even. Whip them. Beat them. Fight back. But you know what you do? When you die to self, and you grind that up and you put it in the water of the Spirit of God and you take that, it'll keep you from getting sick from the sins of this life. Me and Scott do a lot of funerals together, a lot. Scott, there's something I've never seen a body do in a casket ever. I've seen people go up to those bodies. I've watched wives and husbands and children and mothers and fathers weep over that body. I've watched people kiss the little head of that body. I actually watched one time, you wouldn't believe it, I actually watched one time the person on the outside look at the body neck and absolutely yell to the top of their lungs at that body. You know what that body never does? It never moves. No matter what's done to it, it never responds. Why? It's dead. And that's how you have to respond to people that try to destroy you. It has no power over you. You're dead to it. You're dead. I had somebody come out the other day and apologize to me when I walked by. Austin, come play right quick, brother. Get that song ready. They came right out to that door and they stood at my door and they knocked on the door. And this is what they said, Bob. They said, "Preacher, I need to apologize to you." I said, "For what?" They said, "I said something the other day and I didn't mean it like it came out." I said, "I didn't think anything about it." He said, "Well, it bothered me and I just wanted to apologize to you." And I remember a lesson Lester Roloff said one time. He said, "Brother, if that which you did to me bothers me, I'm the one in the wrong, not you." You know why? Because you can't hurt a dead man. You can't hurt a dead man. You can't hurt somebody that's not in this world, that's already checked out to another. You can't affect somebody that's not here, but is already there. Is that you? Has the devil tried to detour your life with some betrayal? And the devil has eat your lunch with it. I want you to come find your little place. Say, "Lord, help me to die to self."